You as well about some stuff from God's Word. And that today we're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verse 19 through 40. If y'all can flip over to John chapter 1, verses 19 through 40, I want to open us in a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much for getting to be a part of this ministry called Camp Pearl, Lord. And as we go to now to look at your word, and Lord, this passage that's going to be our summer camp theme passage this year, Lord, I just pray that you impact each one of us, Lord, to be the type of influence that you call us to be. Not about ourselves, but about you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have y'all noticed how if you were to go ask high school, junior high students right now about what are your aspirations perhaps for life? What do you want to be when you grow up? That there's been some changes as to what that question would have been answered as you, with you as a kid. When you were a kid, I'm guessing, many of you, when you were a kid, you'd hear things like, I want to be a fireman. Anybody ever say that when they were a kid? Want to be a fireman or a police officer? If you grew up in the, I believe it was 60s, you may have said, I want to be an astronaut because you saw the moon landing and all of that going on. Those were a lot of the aspirations. And then it kind of, we hear things like professional athlete. Those were probably some aspirations as we see the Babe Ruth era of baseball going on. Today, if you ask a kid that question, they may say some of those things. But you also hear, I've heard a lot of kids say, yeah, I want to be an influencer when I grow up. And you kind of like scratch your head, what in the world are you talking about? Yeah, I want to be an influencer. Well, what is an influencer? Well, that's somebody who's on social media. And what they do is they make videos and they have this big following and they encourage people to, they influence them to do things like maybe dress a certain way, go on a certain type of diet, or whatever it may be. That's a job these days. I see Miss Nancy's laughing at that. It's mind-blowing, Miss Nancy. But it is a job that people do. And I've heard plenty of students say that's what they want to do with their lives. And while we've never used that term in our generations, it's a term that's being used now, but we did see aspects of that in our generations. We know Michael Jordan, right? And Michael Jordan, he became an influencer. He didn't use that word, probably a marketer. And he made this brand called Nike, the number one shoe brand in the entire world. And he used his influence as the best basketball player around to influence people in that way. And we can see all kinds of different examples of that throughout the U.S. history, at the very least. And I think, you know, that term is just an odd one. And to say it that way, I want to be a social media influencer, is a pretty odd aspiration to say the least. But we do see in God's word this concept of influence and how it is a biblical concept, and it's something that we're called to do. We should have influence on people in a good way. And when we consider it, we all do have influence on people, whether we're trying to or we're not. And so as we consider, hey, I have influence on other people, whether I'm trying to or not, and God calls me to influence people. A question that we could ask is, how can I have the best possible influence on others? How can I have the best possible influence on others? Because I am going to impact people's lives, so what will it be for? And I think as we look at this passage today in John chapter 1, verse 19 through 40, we see this of John, that John lived away in a way that the greatest way that he could influence others was to point them to the Lamb of God. The greatest way that John recognized that he could possibly influence others was to point them to the Word of God. Now, the book of John, it starts out with a declaration of who Jesus is. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, the communication, the one, as it elaborates, who communicates who God is because he was one with God. He sat with the Father through all eternity. He knew God. And when Jesus took on flesh, he condescended himself. He displayed the very nature and character of God to perfection before men. And so Jesus, the Word, was communicating that of God to man. And it says also that there's this man who came along, and his name was John. And guess what? He was before Jesus. He came before him. And he came, it says, to prepare the way of Jesus. To be the one who's crying out, hey, get ready, Jesus is coming. Get ready, the Messiah is coming. In John chapter 1, verse 19, let me read through verse 28, it says this. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." And so they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give answers to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As the prophet Isaiah said, "Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' And John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am unworthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now John, he was, we could say, an influencer of people. He had these guys who followed him, and they were called disciples. And the idea of a disciple is it's this person who's this mentee sitting under a mentor learning from and trying to in some way become like the disciple maker, the mentor. And that's where John is. He's discipling people. He's influencing them towards something. And as we look at this passage, we see that John's view of himself was founded in Christ. And so what he first did with his influence, he said that his view of himself was founded in Christ. A lot of times we see social media influencers, one of the things that they make a big deal of is that they want to recognize who they are and everything that they put out as they try to make people like them with their influence. They have their brand that they want to establish. Here's who I am. And they establish that so that other people can be like them. And John did something similar in this passage. He established who he was. But it wasn't about who he was in himself. It was all about who he was in Christ. And so as John, he's baptizing people. These men were sent from the Pharisees to ask him some questions. And the question they asked is a pretty legitimate one. They said, "Who are you?" You know, if there was a man who was baptizing in Dry Creek or in Reeves, I'm sure Brother Sam, and if the following was getting bigger and bigger, Brother Sam would probably want to go meet the guy at the very least and say, "Well, who is this new guy who's preaching and getting a big following? I want to see if he's a wacko or if he's somebody who's pretty stable." If that was happening in Reeves, I would want to go do the same. It's just a reasonable question that the Pharisees ask. "Well, who are you, John? You have this following. Who are you?" And so John answers them, kind of. He kind of more didn't answer them initially. "Who are you?" And he confessed and he did not deny. He said, "I am not the Christ." Okay, but who are you? That's his first statement of who he is. "I'm not Christ." And guess what? I'm not Christ and you're not Christ. We can recognize that truth. They continue, said, "Well, if you're not the Christ, are you Elijah?" He gives not a lot of information. "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And no. He didn't seem to want to talk about himself very much. He had somebody better to talk about. Well, finally, they ask a pretty pointed question. They said, "Well, the guys who sent us, if we don't come back with an answer of who you are, they're not going to be very happy. They need an answer. So who are you?" And his answer was this. He said, "I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." And so after not answering the question and pointing to Christ in the initial answer he gives, "I'm not the Christ. I'm not these guys either." His answer of who he was this: "I'm the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." His very declaration of who he was founded in Christ. I'm the one who's pointing people to Jesus. Just like Isaiah had prophesied, there's going to be one who's going to cry out in the wilderness, make straight of the way of the Lord. He is picking up on that verse and saying, that prophecy was about me, and my job is to point to Jesus. My very nature of who I am was in my calling, who God created me to be, this voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Every single answer that he gives of himself somehow pointed back to Christ. And then as this conversation goes on, they ask, well, why are you baptizing? Then he still doesn't quite exactly answer that question. But he does make this statement here. He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you don't even know. He's coming after me, and I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. Again, as he continues to state, well, why are you doing what you're doing? He still turns it around and points right back to Christ. There's one coming. Well, I'm just baptizing with this wet stuff. He's going to baptize, he says later on, with the Holy Spirit, and I'm not even worthy to go take his shoes off of his feet. I am so lowly compared to the Christ who you're about to meet. You're about to hear about him. And so his very view of himself was founded in Christ. And when he declared, who am I? It was what Jesus said about him. Now, Mr. LD, he made a point in Sunday school this morning that we should be willing, I don't remember exactly what the words were, but we should be willing to say who we are. We should be willing to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and who I am in Christ, and say what he has done for us. And I think that's exactly what John is doing here. And we can learn, if we want to have a good influence on others, we need to be willing to say who we are, and that is in Christ, not in myself. My influence is not about me. It's about Christ and what he has done in me. The next thing that we see is that John, he viewed himself in Christ. His view was found in Christ. And then his life was a testimony of Christ as well. Verse 29, it continues. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you have seen the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have bore witness that this is the Son of God. So after John declaring that that Christ was coming, he finally gets to see him face to face. He finally sees Jesus. He sees Jesus coming towards him. And what does he immediately do? He says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That word, behold, it's a word of exclamation. It's like, stop what you're doing and look. It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's so much excitement in him when all of his life was founded in Jesus. And his calling was to declare that Jesus was coming. And he's been doing that and pointing people to, hey, get ready. He's coming. He's coming. Wow, that's him. The Lamb of God, look at that man. And so he testifies of who Jesus is. Again, he points back to Isaiah when he says this in Isaiah chapter 53. His description of who Jesus was is this Lamb of God, this Lamb who was slain for our sins that Isaiah 53 prophesies of, that Lamb that was led to the slaughter. And as well, he alludes to Exodus in the story of Abraham and Isaac, this lamb that God provided that was just insufficient for the sacrifice for all of man, but it was to be fulfilled. Christ would be this perfect sacrifice to come. And so he points to those things as he describes Jesus. And just as he did before, he goes on to explain who Jesus is this one who outranks him. And so as he testifies of Jesus, he says, this is the Lamb of God who's going to take away, he's going to sacrifice for all of the sins of the world. And guess what? Who is Jesus? He outranks me. And you know why he outranks me? Well, because he was before me. And I'm sure some of them are scratching their head like, well, John, we know you're older than this guy, and you've been ministering longer than this guy. We've heard of you, and this is a new guy. What are you talking about, how he came before you? But what John is pointing to is what the Apostle John wrote at the beginning of the passage, that the Word was from the beginning, that this Jesus, he is God, and he has existed eternally, and he was before John in that way. And so he testifies of who Jesus is. He is God. He testifies of who he is. He is the Messiah, the Savior that was prophesied of. And then he continues to bear witness to the fact that Jesus would baptize of the Holy Spirit. I baptize with water. Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he said he saw the Spirit descend upon him and remain on him in verse 33. And that's who he testified of. And so John, within his sphere of influence, the opportunity that he got to testify, he testified of who Jesus is. He's the Savior, the Lamb who's going to be slain. He is the one who is God. He is God. He's way better than me. And he says he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, all of this testimony of Jesus in this one short statement. And so as we seek to influence people, one, we need to recognize who we are in Christ and declare that of ourselves. I am only somebody in Christ, and we're pointing to Jesus with our life. Second, our testimony needs to be about Christ and what he has done, dying for our sins, raising from the dead, giving us the Holy Spirit, sitting on a throne. One day he's going to come back for us. And that's the testimony we need to proclaim of Christ if we want to influence them in the best way that we can. And then last is that John's role was reduced for Christ. Modern concept of influencers, it tends to be all about self. We seek to get as many social media followers, as many likes or views on a post or video or something like that. That's what modern social media influencers are. And when people quit following them, it's bad for their business. They don't get to make as much money off of it, and that's not a very good thing by any means in their mind. But that's not what John did at all. In verse 35, it says this: "The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and he walked by and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus, he turned and saw them following him and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him for that day. For it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two of them who heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon's brother." And so a day after John first seeing Jesus and declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," he gets to see Jesus again. And he's with two of his disciples. And he's excited, and he says to him again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And what do? They're like, "Well, what are we following you for? I'm going to go follow that guy. That's the Lamb of God." And they leave him. And you know what? Assuming at the very least this is the chronological order of when the disciples happened in the book of John, the very first two disciples that Jesus receives are because John pointed away from himself and pointed to Jesus and said, "That's him. That's the Lamb of God." It's kind of a mind-blowing thing. And, you know, what of John, though? Was he heartbroken over losing two of his disciples? "So sad. Why aren't you following me anymore, guys?" We don't ever see that picture given here at all. Instead, in chapter 3, there are people that come to John and they say, "Hey, you know, you're baptizing over here and Jesus is over there. And you used to have this really big following and you got to baptize a lot of people, but Jesus is baptizing more people than you. What are you going to do about it, John?" And John, he recognizes his role here and he says, "Hey," you know, he compares it to a wedding, a bride, groom, and the groomsmen. And in the picture he says is, "Hey, the groomsmen, it's not all about him, but he rejoices in the bridegroom's voice on the wedding weekend, the wedding day. He's all about the bridegroom, and he's pointing to him. And he steps aside and lets his role be what it is and let the bridegroom's role be the one of focus." And he says, that's what's happening here. Jesus' role is above me, and I am nobody because this is about Christ. And all my role was is to point to him. And so then he continues that statement and he says, "He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease." And then we don't hear a lot more about John's ministry after that. John's ministry kind of backs down and Jesus is elevated. A lot of times when we seek to influence people, we want the following. We want it to be about us. We want to make people like us. John was so quick and excited to say, "That's the Lamb of God. Follow him. Not me." And if we want to influence people in the way that God calls us to in his word, we need to influence them to be like Christ. Not necessarily like us. He must increase. We must decrease. So the greatest way that John recognized he could influence others, and the greatest way that I believe we can influence others as well, as to point them to the Lamb of God.